welcome back to Rocket Right Radio, and it's time for our medical segment brought to you each week by Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center.
When you or someone you love is diagnosed with cancer, it can be all-encompassing, and every cancer experience is different. The staff and physicians at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center will surround you with highly individualized resources and care to meet your every need and preference. Visit marybirdlake.org to learn more.
And so today in our medical segment, we are speaking with Dr. Lauren Zatterain, who is the medical oncologist at Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center. And March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Zatterain.
Nice to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
You know, so a lot of people are confused. They hear about colon cancer. They hear about rectal cancer. They hear about colorectal cancer. Can you talk about the difference a little bit?
Absolutely. So a lot of times we use the name synonymously when we say colorectal cancer, but it truly is just describing our large intestine, which is the colon, and then the very last part of the large intestine, which is the rectum. So it's said as colorectal cancer, but we're just describing the intestine as a whole.
For sure. So a lot of the things that we're going to talk about pertain to both. So let's talk about the risk factors for colorectal cancer.
Absolutely. So when we think about healthy lifestyle choices, this is one of the cancers where this plays the biggest impact. So we know that being overweight or obese contributes significantly to the development of colon cancer. We know that if we're not as active or not exercising or sitting on the couch watching television, our risk is increased. And this is also where diet plays a huge role. An increased consumption of red meat or increased alcohol can actually increase risk for large intestine or colon cancer. So when we're trying to do things to reduce risk, it really comes back to the common sense of trying to improve our diet, move more, and just trying to stay active.
Right. And as far as the obesity, a lot of that is related to diet. And as far as the poor health choices, as far as too much processed foods, too much red meat, those type of things. But I think that there's also the fact that the obesity has an inflammatory component to it as well, increasing inflammation. And some of that is because of those poor health choices, but that all of that impacts the risk for colorectal cancer.
You're absolutely right. So anything that causes and triggers more inflammation, specifically more fat cells and obesity, can contribute to many different types of cancers, including colon cancer.
Now, if somebody says, well, you know, I have a family history for colon cancer, is let's talk about the risk factors. You know, there's factors that you can change, and diet is definitely one of those. But let's talk about the family history.
So colon cancer is very common in families. You know, a lot of up to 20% of people diagnosed with colon cancer may have a family history. That does not necessarily mean that it's a genetic predisposition or a mutated gene that's causing that, but that's still one in five colon cancers, you'll have somebody in your family with it. So when we start thinking a little bit deeper about risk factors for genetic mutations or Lynch syndrome cancers, there's something called the 3-2-1 rule. So this is easy for patients to remember because it means three people in the family that have been impacted with a colon cancer or other type of Lynch syndrome cancer, two people spanning generations, so maybe a grandmother and then a child, and then one person diagnosed before the age of 50. So our 3-2-1 rule can raise the alarm and say maybe we have a hereditary cancer here.
And when we're talking about that, that impacts when they get screened, if there's a family history, but also there's some changes that are going on as far as screening in general these days. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. So in 2018, there was a study released showing that people that were born after 1990 actually had four times the risk of colon cancer. So that's a huge increase in risk in that generation. And so as a response to that, the American Cancer Society now has put out guidelines stating anyone age 45 and above with an average risk of colon cancer should start their screenings. It used to be 50. We would all joke about, oh, we're going for a colonoscopy at 50. Well, now that age category is moving down to 45. If someone were to have a family history, however, the age for screening may be significantly younger. And so it's important that people speak to their doctors about their family history to see if they should start at age 45, or if they're a higher risk person, perhaps they should be starting even younger.
Yeah, and let's talk about that screening because, for years as a gynecologist, I talked to women about that as part of their annual checkups and, they're like, oh, I don't want to get that done, and that was at 50. Now you're like looking at 45. But let's talk about the types of screening that are offered.
Absolutely. So the gold standard is still going to be colonoscopy. So that's that test that people cringe over thinking about a procedure of having to have a physician look in the intestine to search for any polyps that might need to be pulled out with a biopsy. So that's still our gold standard and still what is recommended to people starting at age 45. However, if somebody were to have a medical reason that they could not have a colonoscopy, or if they were still quite hesitant or maybe didn't have the funds to pay for that screening, there are some other testing that can be done, such as stool kits that can be mailed back to labs for testing to see if somebody's at an increased risk.
Yeah, and, I tell people, even though they come and go, hey, but, I could just do this. Yeah, that's like secondary. I mean, because if you can do the gold standard, that's really what you want to do. And the colonoscopy is not just diagnostic. But if you can remove one of those precancerous polyps, then that's going to reduce their risk of developing colon cancer. Let's talk about that. So it's a way to, prevent it as well as just diagnose it.
Yeah. So, what people may not realize is if they send in their stool sample through the kit and it comes back abnormal, well, we're still recommending colonoscopy because we then have to go see what could be the source of bleeding or what could be the source of that abnormal test. And so you're absolutely right. It's not only screening and looking for a problem, but if there is a polyp identified or a cancer identified, we can act on it at that moment to either remove the polyp or do a biopsy to move the workup along for a patient. It's an important investment in health, and the earlier that people get screened, the earlier things can be diagnosed with improved long-term outcomes. So we certainly still recommend colonoscopy as our first line of defense.
I mean, absolutely, because anytime you can get something in the precancerous phase, that's going to increase their timing between colonoscopies usually. Because if you're clear as a whistle and you have no symptoms develop, you usually get a bye for 10 years. But of course, if there's a precancerous polyp found, or if there's that family history, then that screening is usually bumped up. But who wouldn't want to have that found before they have advanced disease and have to have much worse treatments and outcome afterwards? But it is always a hard sell. But I tell people, I guarantee you, anyone who has developed colon cancer wishes they had that colonoscopy screening done.
And oftentimes what we see is family members and friends of that affected person are then going out and asking their doctors, please screen me with colonoscopy, because this is something that's so preventable and it's also so common. I mean, 1 in 20 Americans are diagnosed with colon cancer in their lifetime. And so when it comes and hits close to home, many people are then reaching out. But we want to start even before we're being diagnosed and as a preventive mechanism.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the Cancer Center's Prevention on the Go program, because they go throughout Southeast Louisiana offering these cancer education as well as early detection services via their mobile medical unit. Tell us a little bit about that and how somebody would hook into that.
Sure. So Cancer Center's Prevention on the Go mobile unit travels all over Southeast Louisiana. It also establishes at big corporations that may be working with Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake, to enable screening for their working population. We know that so many people are workaholics or we're just trying to get through our work day, and so we don't always take that time off for prevention. So this is a way of bringing prevention to them at the workplace or to them at the grocery store. What they are able to supply in terms of colon cancer is we do provide the take-home kits, colonoscopy colonoscopies are not performed on the mobile unit, but we can also provide a list of physicians that would be able to perform that test and enable patients to receive the education of why this screening is important.
Well, we have like less than a minute left. Let's quickly, like, just in case somebody's not screening but we're looking for symptoms, you know, shoot those out for me right now.
Change in bowel habits, blood in the stool, constipation, change in appetite, anything that's affecting the intestine should be reported to the physician.
Absolutely. And that would prompt an earlier colonoscopy or evaluation. So, and if someone wants to find out more information on colon cancer and where they can go, they can visit the Cancer Center's website at marybirdlake.org/colon. They are your premier healthcare network in the area for this. And thank you for being with us. We've been talking with Dr. Lauren Zatarain, medical oncologist with Mary Bird Perkins, Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Center. Thank you, Dr. Zatarain.
Thank you.
More Rocket Right Radio is coming up right after this. Stay tuned.